no safer place to be. Somebody say amen. Oh, you ought to be washed, but thank God I'm under His wings. That means I'm under His protection. That means I'm under His providence. That means He's got a purpose for my life. Somebody help me preach. If you got your Bibles, I'll be doing my series tonight that I've been doing on Sunday morning. But I feel led to preach this morning on this National Day of Prayer. I want you to get your Bibles open, stand with, if you would. I'm going to read verse 13. Then I want you to read with me verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. This, I suppose, there's no other passage in the Bible that's been used more often to preach about revival and a national need than 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 13 and 14. And by the way, He's going to give us a secret for revival here. And by the way, our nation needs revival. And our president is doing everything he can. The Congress, I'm glad they finally got together a little bit. But I want all y'all to know, the secret of real revival and a real national movement is if my people. And I want you to, I'm going to read verse 13. Then I want y'all all to read verse 14 with me, 2 Chronicles 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I'll read verse 13 myself, then we'll read verse 14 together. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, let's do it together, church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will... Our Father, in the midst of chaos and crisis, I am glad that I am resting on this immutable fact that you never change. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. While folks are changing, I'm glad you're the same. I'm glad you have everything under control. God, as I preach this morning, may this body of believers be stirred. May every person that's listened to me in their living room or by their bed or in their kitchen by live stream would humble themselves this morning, bow wherever they're at, and ask for a Holy Ghost sent revival. And we'll praise you and we'll honor you in Jesus' sweet name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture is well known. And if you read the context of this passage of Scripture, it was given in connection with the dedication of the house of God. If you read it, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, all surround the dedication of the house of God. I want all y'all to know something. I'm glad for the house of God. I'm glad this is a place we can bring our family, where we can find God's favor, that we can be fervent before the Lord. There's no saving power in this building, but thank God the real church meets in this place. And I'm glad we're able to do that. Say amen. I want to preach this morning on this theme. Would you agree with me? At least agree with me. Our nation needs revival. Our churches need revival. We as individuals need revival. I feel led to do this. I'm not just honoring our president. I'm honoring my God. And I felt led to preach this. We'll give you three things this morning that can turn our world around and can turn your life around and turn your marriage around and turn your children around and can turn everything around. And it's found in this passage in verse number 14. If my people. By the way, if you're going to be God's people, you got to be saved. Somebody say amen. There's a lot of churches that don't even use that word anymore. Somebody help me preach. There's some churches that don't believe in the word saved. But I want you to know, I still believe that you can be saved. And as you're saved by the grace of God. We give you three things this morning. We'll let you go home. And I believe we've got choir practice at 4:30 and prayer rooms at 5:30 combined. Three things. I want you to write this down in your mind. Number one, God's real revival demands real requirements. You're not going to snap your fingers and get God to move. So, am I preaching? Yeah, I think that because this generation and this culture think you can have a seminar or some little talk or some motivational speaker with pretty hair, get up, and some way we're going to have a move of God. It's going to take more than that. I want to give you four requirements found in this passage of Scripture that I read. First of all, notice it. Look with me. Just follow with me. For if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. First of all, a call to preparation. This word has the idea, listen to this, of being under another. I want all y'all to know something. You may feel like you're rebelling, but you're still under God. And I want to tell this country, our Supreme Court, our president, our legislators, some of the sins that we have done in these last years, God is not going to ignore it, and we are going to fall under His authority. He is under control. He has everything in control, and you are, whether you like it or not, going to fall under His authority. I'll tell you what we need. A good dose of humility. We got so much pride. Somebody help me preach. We got so much pride in our land. We got so much pride in public office. We got so much pride in the pulpits today. I want to tell you, if I'm anything today, and I'll tell you what humility is never forgetting that you're an old sinner. Saved by the grace of God. What God's saying is, we need to admit our weakness, our futility, and we need to depend and humble ourselves and depend on Him. Amen. Somebody help me. Number two, not only a call to preparation, but a call to prayer. Let me ask you this, not trying to embarrass you. Did you pray this morning? Did you get around God's Word this morning? Did you talk to Him this morning? He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I believe God, during this time of turbulence, can put a hedge of protection around you. Somebody help me preach. I believe God can help you through all this turmoil if you'll just pray. Amen. And seek His face. Yes. And live by faith and not live by fear. Amen. He's not giving me the spirit of fear. But of sound mind. And the soundest thing you can do is to lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. For our help coming from the Lord. Amen. Am I preaching? Number three. If my people, are y'all still with me? Which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Notice number three, and seek my face. That's a call to passion. That's a call to devotion. The word means to desire something. I heard this. Marcus Antoninus said this between 120 and 180. He said, the true worth of a man is to be measured by the objects he pursues. You know what I think we need? Boy, I tell you, have y'all seen Passion this week? Anybody been to Kroger's? Seen any Passion at Kroger's? Seen Passion at Kroger's? Been to Walmart this week? Found any toilet paper? Man, they're passionate. I mean, I heard down in Hurricane, somebody got hit right in the mouth for getting in front of somebody. Now, that may just be a rumor. But I wouldn't be surprised. Come on, I mean, people are so passionate about, man, we better get enough food. And we better get enough toilet paper. And hand sanitizer. And that's all well and good. But I want to tell you what we need. We need to get a hold of God. Amen. Somebody somewhere needs to fall on their face and say, God, we need you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Preach on,
preacher. Walmart may not have no toilet paper for a month. But God's on the throne.
Yes, sir.
And God's high lifted up. And God's never asleep. And God's able to take care of somebody. Help me. Hallelujah! Let me ask you, is your desire for God as strong as it has been for all this foolishness that you've been doing lately? Good preaching, Reverend.
Amen.
Number four. Wow. By the way, can I read something? I'm about to jump. How many ever read after Tozer? Raise your hand if you read after Tozer. Here's what Tozer said. I like it. If we would yearn after God even as much as a cow yearns for a calf, we would be worshiping and effective believers God wants us to be. If we long for God as a bride longs forward to the return of her husband, we be far greater force for God than we are now. That's A.W. Tozer. Number four. They call it purity. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, listen, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. That word purity is repentance. The phrase means turn from their wicked ways. Can I read this? I wrote this in my notes. I was amazed when I read this. Gordon MacDonald said this. He offered this thought of repentance. Never actually heard it this way, Chad. He said, repentance is not basically just a religious word. He said it comes from a culture where people were essentially nomadic and lived in a world with no maps or streets or signs. And it was easy to get lost while walking the desert. You become aware that the countryside is strange. And here's what you do. You realize you're going in the wrong direction. And you change your mind and go into a different direction. Ladies and gentlemen, our churches, most Christians, most sinners, and our nation is going in the wrong direction. And somebody needs to realize we need to repent. We're in a culture where people don't think they need to repent because they don't think they're ever wrong. I know people have never apologized in their whole life for their sin and their misbehavior. And they think that's okay. But I want y'all to know something. I still believe the people of God ought to get on our face and turn from our wicked ways and turn and turn and turn and apologize to God, apologize to each other, and get right with God. And you'll never have revival until you do. Secondly, I gotta hurry. Real revival provides rewards. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe real revival provides rewards? Look what he said. Let me read the verse again. If my people, are you his people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Brother O'Brien, then will I hear from heaven. Number one, here's what God will reward you with. God will hear you. Now I'm going to say something. I'm going to say it real kind and benevolent as I can. If you or I regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear you. And you can go ahead and be self-righteous and believe that you're it. But until you realize your sin and you get it right, God won't hear you.
Amen.
He will not answer a prayer that you pray. I'm praying for healing for my church. I'm praying that no one gets the coronavirus in my church. I'm praying that nobody gets it in West Virginia. I'm praying that it will be stopped in America. But I want you to know something. We've got to repent. And then God said if you repent, he'll hear you. I got some, whoop! Y'all can't hardly take me sometimes, but I want y'all to have me tell y'all I had a Baptist spell in my office this morning. I did. I had one. Whoa! Did I have a time? I started praying. Somebody had a song on Facebook. I don't even know. I can't remember the song now. All I remembered is for 3 minutes and 21 seconds, I shouted. I can't even remember. I had to go back and see if it's still online. Yeah, my. God will help us. God will hear us. I'm just glad you got throne rights this morning.
Amen.
Then God will help us. He'll forgive our sins. There ain't nothing purer, nothing more blessed than know your sins are forgiven. But he didn't stop there. I think I can apply this pretty accurately today. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. I'll hear them. I'll help them. And I will heal their land. You know what God told them in verse 13? If you don't get right, I'm bringing judgment on the land. I'm judging this land. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm withholding the rain. And the locusts are going to eat up the crops. And I'm going to bring pestilence or disease. And I think it's pretty relevant to today. Our land needs healing. And yes, We need the healing of the coronavirus. But we got a lot more stuff we need healing from. Our rebellion toward God. Our attitude toward one another. How we face life in general. We need revival. We need healing. And I want to tell you something. We'll probably not have real healing in this land as long as we kill 1.3 million babies a year. As long as we glorify the homosexual community. That wicked sin. Somebody help me preach. It ain't time to die yet. Somebody got to preach. This land needs healing. And it needs a spiritual healing before we need a physical healing. Lastly, I'm done. Y'all getting some help? I'm done. Real revival yields real results. He said, and we'll heal their land. Listen carefully, and I'm done. And I'm going, can I request something of you? Will you find somewhere in the auditorium where you can move, whether it's in your, to another seat or up to the altar or now, and come and meet with God this morning. Real results. God's people. God will bless them. But I'll tell you what will happen, little scale. It'll reverberate to our counties, to our churches, to our land, and our nation. That revival not only affected the people in the house of God, it affected the whole land. Because he said, if my people, that's you and me. Now here's what I want to do. Bow your head with me. I want to ask this first. Are you one of God's people? How many of you know you're God's people? Raise your hand. Hold them up high. Hold them high. Thank you. How many couldn't raise your hand? And you're not a child of God, and you're not saved, and you're not sure you're saved. And you raise your hand now and say, pray for me. I think most everybody's saved, but I want to make sure. Now, how many people are coming around this altar? I want to, as you stand, how many without a lot of pressure would find a place in the auditorium to pray for our nation and pray for our healing and pray for national revival? Will you find a place? Let's pray.